May it please the court, counsel. Good morning, your honors. My name is Timothy Leek and I represent the plaintiff appellant Lenroy Brown. Because the time is limited, I'd like to focus on how the district court construed Mr. Brown's complaint. The district court viewed this matter as a medical malpractice case. However, it is our position that it can just as easily be construed as a general negligence claim against the United States Bureau of Prisons. This case is not about substandard care by prison medical staff, but rather about a failure to provide care under statutory duty. It's well established that the court has the duty to broadly construe a pro se litigant's complaint. The Federal Tort Claims Act allows bringing a suit for negligence under the statute. Section 4042 of the Bureau of Prisons allows a duty on the behalf of the Bureau of Prisons to provide for the safekeeping and care of its prisoners. One need look no further than the caption of Mr. Brown's complaint. He complains against the warden and the director of the clinic. These positions are administrative. He did not complain against the medical staff who was treating him. Under the cause of action, both the warden and the clinical director owed him a duty under the Bureau of Prison statute that to make sure that he was receiving his care. Again, in Mr. Brown's own words, he was alleging that the prison administration breached this duty to provide care.
Well, has he been cured now?
As far as I am aware, he is not.
Does that mean that it's continuing negligence, or he just has a condition that's stubbornly resistant to treatment?
It is our position that it would be continuing negligence, that he has a...
Some people have incurable conditions.
But...
Maybe he's one.
The question here, though, is that it took 2.5 years of a diagnosed medical condition of kidney stones that he did not receive anything other than mere aspirin and painkillers.
Yes, but apparently, but now he's received more aggressive treatment, but it hasn't cured him.
That is correct.
So
but his complaint, looking at it broadly, construing it.
But what good would they have aggressive treatment done 2.5 years ago?
It would have satisfied the statute of care. In this case, he's complaining that it took 2.5 years before he received the aggressive treatment.
But the aggressive treatment didn't work, so it doesn't seem as if he's worse off.
It may or may not be that he's worse off at this point.
Or he can't maintain a tort suit if he's not worse off. That's my problem. I don't see the evidence that had he been given what you regard as the appropriate care, he would be better off. Is there evidence of that, or?
Well, I think the
he did get as far as summary judgment. So, what kind of medical evidence did Brown put in to show that he would have?
Mr. Brown did not supply any medical evidence at this point, and that is why the district court, in its construing of his complaint...
You can understand why the district court would want medical evidence, because without it, it's completely unclear that either that there was medical negligence or that it had any consequences.
I think it goes back, though, that the treatment is more of a legal question, and we need to go back to the duty of the court to broadly construe his complaint for general negligence on behalf of...
But maybe it's the way you treat kidney... I don't know what it is. But maybe that's the way you treat kidney stones. First you just try painkillers, and then you try... Apparently this aggressive treatment is not always efficacious, so... But I don't know what concretely you think the government doctors should have done here.
Well, the difference, I guess, is we're not contesting really that this is a factual matter. We're looking at a legal interpretation of his complaint. If it was true that this was a medical malpractice, which I'm not conceding, then yes, medical evidence would have been necessary to survive summary judgment about whether the treatment was proper, improper, good or bad.
Oh, you think there's some other tort besides malpractice?
Yes, that is our position, that this is a general negligence claim against which does not, it's against the administration and the directors of the prison, not against the medical staff. Under their duty on the Bureau of Prisons, Section 4042, they have a duty to provide for the care. And it
is
our
position. It's malpractice not to provide needed medical care, isn't it?
It may or may not be medical.
Well, the only one that can be guilty of medical malpractice is a doctor. A hospital can't be guilty of medical. I mean, a prison can't be guilty of medical malpractice. So it would have to be a tort or nothing. But didn't they provide medical attention to him?
Well, I think that's, Your Honor,
if they provided medical attention to him inadequately, then you'd have to have medical evidence to support the inadequacy claim for the tort.
I think the general negligence claim can be
What would the negligence be, though?
For failing to provide. What we're asking is...
Failing to provide what?
Failure to provide care under the statutory...
Didn't they give him medical care?
There was care given. However, the complaint, broadly construed, alleges that he did not receive any care.
He admits he received medical care, but he doesn't think it was effective medical care or proper medical care. Is that my... Defined his position fairly accurately.
He admits in his complaint, setting out in the fact that he did receive
medical care.
Some sort of care. He received shots and everything for his
He received
complaint.
Medical care.
Yes.
Says the medical care was both inadequate and inappropriate.
Right.
And so that was negligent. But not on the part of the prison people, on the part of the medical people who are providing the care.
See, with respect to the prison people, it's just complaint that he asked to go to sick bay repeatedly. They never took him to sick bay. You know, that would go to the prison people and what their duty was to him. But if he ultimately got to sick bay, he requested, he got to the doctor, but then the care that he got once he got to the doctor was inadequate, then we're in medical malpractice land. You see the distinction?
So
what's the evidence you have that the people at the prison didn't do what they were supposed to do?
Mr. Brown did not present any evidence, and if it is the position that this is a medical malpractice case, I would suggest we look at the alternative arguments that we made, that he was denied counsel and denied an expert witness to help prove his case and to bring up he's a indigent pro se complaint. This circuit has held before that medical malpractice cases are the types of cases where counsel should be appointed to help him, because there is a definite imbalance out there that a general layman will not be able to cross-examine and present witnesses on medical testimony. He was not given an attorney, and the additional argument would be that he was not provided with an expert witness, which a court has discretion. The Sixth Circuit has recognized that under Section 1915B that a court may present and may appoint a witness to prevent or to provide for a necessary part of a case. And this is, a prisoner pro se litigant, and he never received any of that.
Save yourself a nickel's worth of time for rebuttal.
Thank you. I will do that. So I guess to finish off, I would like to suggest that this court reverse the grant of summary judgment. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Lee. Mr. Dowdle?
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is Mullen Dowdle. I'm here on behalf of the United States of America. I'd first like to address the issue that this court posed in appointing counsel, whether or not the district court abused its discretion or erred in granting summary judgment before discovery was completed. The district court did not abuse its discretion and properly granted summary judgment because Mr. Brown provided no evidence that there was any medical malpractice. In this case, the district court from the very beginning told Mr. Brown that this was a medical malpractice case and that he would have to find expert testimony.
And you think it's realistic that an inmate is going to be able to get a medical doctor to come and examine him and do that on his own?
Well, Your Honor, the district court addressed...
Particularly when he cites the wrong statute in order to get counsel?
Correct. Yes, Your Honor, and Judge Crabb addressed that in October of 1999. Mr. Brown made a motion for counsel and for appointment of an expert. In addressing that and denying that motion, the district court indicated that he could go out and try to find an attorney. He made no effort to try to find any counsel. I mean, that's the quick answer to the argument about appointment of counsel is that in this circuit, the district court is required to look at whether or not the indigent person made any attempt to find counsel. There is no evidence in the record that Mr. Brown ever contacted any attorneys to represent him. The district court in this case went beyond that analysis and then said that she believed that Mr. Brown was competent to represent himself. Mr. Brown's motion for appointment of counsel, as I said, was made about a month after the district court granted informal pauper status and allowed the case to go forward. So it was premature at best at that point to address the issue of appointing an expert. And Mr. Brown never renewed his motion for appointment of an expert, and there's also no showing that he ever tried to find an expert to testify on his behalf. Finally, the district court noted that, in a way, the requirement that indigent counsel seek or indigent individuals seek counsel acts as a check on whether or not there's merit to the case, because if an attorney is not willing to take the case on a contingency fee basis and find the appropriate expert, that might be an indication that the case is, in fact, meritless.
In terms of his request for an expert witness, though, he cited the wrong rule. He should have cited maybe 706A instead of 35, you know, which, you know, the problem I have with this is that, you know, on the one hand, the court says this is, he's confident, he can understand, and he can follow things, and he knows what to do. On the other hand, you know, it's a complex case because it's a medical malpractice case, and he does need an expert, and he cites the wrong rule to get the expert. Doesn't that indicate that he needed counsel?
Not necessarily, Your Honor. It indicated, first, that he had the ability to file the appropriate motions. Judge Crabb pointed him towards some legal resources to find counsel, which I think is sort of actually a gatekeeper to finding an expert. As you pointed out, Your Honor, it's difficult to find an expert without having counsel sophisticated in this area. And so the district court essentially said, you should try to find counsel. And she gave him some names and addresses of legal services in Wisconsin that he could contact to try to seek counsel. Again, there's no evidence in the record that for the next 9 months he made any attempt to contact counsel or to get an expert on his own. And frankly, the subsequent to that October ruling, Mr. Brown went through and served discovery, responded to the summary judgment motion, and essentially showed that he did have an understanding of the legal process. And again, the district court was very clear in its orders and in its scheduling order that Mr. Brown would have to get an expert, set a deadline for that of, I believe it was June 16th. After that deadline, the government moved for summary judgment, and Mr. Brown did not ask for additional time. He did not respond to the court with what would be essentially a Rule 56F motion saying, I need additional time to get an expert to do discovery. He did not renew his motion for appointment of counsel, and so it was appropriate to grant summary judgment in this case where the court put Mr. Brown on notice that he would need an expert. He did not attempt to find counsel or an expert on his own, and then the court was correct in granting summary judgment after the discovery or after the deadline for disclosure of experts. Finally, with regard to the 4042 argument, this was a medical malpractice case. Dr. Reed was initially named as a defendant in this lawsuit. He is the physician in charge of medical services at FCI Oxford. Mr. Brown was seen approximately 70 or 75 times for treatment of these kidney stones. His complaint is that he received inadequate or improper medical care. Therefore, he needed to get expert testimony. He didn't have it, and the district court properly granted summary judgment.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Dowell. Well, Mr. Lee, how much time does he have? 1 minute?
Okay. Thank you, Your Honors. Counsel made note that there was no evidence in the record that Mr. Brown made an effort to get counsel. However, I would point out that the record also states that the district court's ruling, when she provided this, you know, go find, you know, here's the Wisconsin Bar Association referral system, she also stated in that he would not receive counsel from the district court. She had already made that decision. There, giving that.
Well, we do have a rule in this circuit that that the indigent is supposed to at least, you know, make a good faith effort to find a lawyer before the district court will appoint one.
And that is the rule, and I would say that Mr. Brown was not aware of that until the order of the court. But that order of the court contained language that said you would not get one, so try and find one elsewhere. Good luck. Essentially, and I would point out that.
I understand. Yeah, she told him you better try, and if he'd done that and hadn't found one, and she refused to appoint a lawyer, then he would have a good appeal.
Didn't she give him sources that he could seek?
She gave him.
It wasn't just go try and find one. It was here are some people you could call to find one.
She did, Your Honor.
She's a very bright lady. I mean,
she did provide, you know, the address and phone number of the Wisconsin law.
Well, wouldn't that be enough for to satisfy her? Well, he knew where he could go, and he didn't.
But I guess what I'm trying to say is there's no evidence that he didn't. Didn't go out there and try and then report back to the court, because the court had already made the ruling in that opinion that he wasn't going to get one. And
she wasn't going to appoint one, but she says, here's the numbers, go call him.
Right, and
he didn't.
Well, the record doesn't say whether he did or did not.
Well, there's no offer of proof on that.
There is no offer of proof. And
have you conferred with him at all?
I have talked briefly with him,
Well, let me be fairly blunt. Did you ask him a question? Did you try and get a lawyer?
No, I did not ask him that question. However,
you paused at the threshold of finding out a brilliant fact.
However, I would say it's rather. I mean, it's also in the record that he does state that he tried to obtain an expert, but he doesn't say anything about trying to obtain counsel.
He didn't say how he tried to get the expert. He just said he
no,
tried.
No, he just says he just puts in his plea that he tried. I notice I'm out of my time, so I request
Thank you, Mr. Leake, and thank you very much for accepting the appointment. And